Srila Prabhupada started the ISKCON movement in 1966. And even before he came to America, he already had published three books. The first canto, part one, part two, and part three. Right? So on the boat with him, he had this trunk filled with Srimad Bhagavatams. And in the early days, before 26 Second Avenue, when he lived in that Dr. Mishra's house, or his apartment, sometimes he would do programs. And one such program was at the Indian consulate, or the Indian embassy, which is around 69th Street, just near Central Park in Manhattan. So there was a program, Prabhupada spoke, and then afterwards, he introduced his books for people to purchase. And there was a person that had attended the program, who he didn't know, young man, who related later on what happened. And he said that Srila Prabhupada just gave him an instruction, okay, open that box, set these books over here, and then, you know, people were coming up and purchasing the Bhagavatams. And that person remembered many years later how Srila Prabhupada had engaged him in that way, and he felt that it was very natural. You know, he didn't know Srila Prabhupada as such, just heard his lecture, but he felt connected to him by doing this service. Right? So, how is that? He didn't feel out of place. He didn't feel any way shy to do that. He felt very natural. And the reason is that these Srila Prabhupada's books are the words of Krishna. They're what Srila Prabhupada described as his transcendental realizations concerning the Srimad Bhagavatam. So because these the books are filled with Krishna Katha, and everyone is ultimately a servant of Lord Krishna, distributing Srila Prabhupada's books is a natural thing, even for someone who just got introduced to Krishna consciousness. So anyway, here's a chapter. It's called Please Distribute Books. This is San Francisco, July 5th, 1970. Srila Prabhupada was attending the 1970 Rath Yatra in San Francisco. The day was cold and windy, and about 10,000 people had joined Lord Jagannath's procession through Golden Gate Park. Srila Prabhupada had danced in the street with thousands of participants during the parade, addressed a large crowd in an auditorium by the beach, and looked on as his disciples had distributed a free vegetarian prasadam feast to thousands. But when a devotee arrived with a half dozen advance copies of Volume 1 of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Srila Prabhupada appeared especially pleased. So this was the first time that the Srimad, the Krishna book, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was introduced. Now there's an interesting story about how these books came to that San Francisco Rath Yatra. Actually, Brahmananda was in Japan, and he was there organizing the printing of the Krishna book. We all know the story how Shyamasundar had gotten the donation from George Harrison to print the Krishna book. You heard that story? Huh? Who hasn't heard that story? Raise your hand. Should I tell it again? Jai Dharma, should I tell that story, how Prabhupada got the donation? It's interesting, right? George Harrison's very big, famous all over the world. All the young people knew George Harrison, right? And the devotees had made friends with him. And they were cultivating him, you know. He was doing things for the temple. He signed the lease agreement for the number seven Berry Place temple in London from Apple Records, right? So Shyamasundara was meeting him. And Srila Prabhupada one day, he said, "You ask George for $20,000 to print the Krishna book." So Shyamasundara, he became very fearful. Because rich people, they get asked money all the time. And you know, they begin to think that people are just after them for their money and not for being a person. And Shyamasundara had been very, very careful to be personal with George Harrison. That he wasn't, you know, whatever he felt like doing for the temple, he would do, but he never asked him for anything. And he thought that if he asked him, then that would ruin the relationship. Because so many people ask for so many things. So Shyamasundara was a little bit afraid. But anyway, Prabhupada had told him, "You just ask him, don't worry." So he thought, "Okay, I'll ask him." And that day they went out and they chose some marble that George had seen and wanted to get for the new temple in Berry Place, for the altar. So they, you know, spent day, and then in the evening, you know, they went to George's house and they were sitting there. They were talking. It was getting later on in the night, right? So then Shyamasundara had this instruction from Srila Prabhupada he was supposed to do. And he thought, okay. So he said, "You know, Srila Prabhupada had asked me to ask you for $20,000 for printing the Krishna book." And George Harrison's face immediately changed. He kind of had this sour look on his face. And then within a split second, there was a huge bolt of lightning that, you know, and thunder outside. And it's almost like it hit the house. It was so loud and powerful. And then all the lights went out. Just at that instant, all the lights went out. So he and George Harrison were sitting there in the dark. And then after Shyamasundara describes what seemed a long time, but it was just a few seconds, the lights went back on. And George Harrison replied, "Well, after that, how can I say no?" So Shyamasundara went back to the Berry Place and was late, but he could see the light in Srila Prabhupada's room was still on. And he went quietly by Srila Prabhupada's room so he wouldn't disturb him. And Prabhupada said, "Shyamasundara?" And he said, "Come in." So Prabhupada, before Shyamasundara could tell what happened, Prabhupada said, "See, I told you Krishna would help." Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So Brahmananda, he was there in Japan. And he was working with the biggest printers in Tokyo, Dai Nippon, big printers. And designing the covers and all this had come from America. And it was there. And they were trying to produce the books in time, you know, as quickly as possible. But it was taking time. And then the San Francisco Rathiatra in 1970 was coming up. So Brahmananda felt that would be a good time to give the books to Srila Prabhupada, deliver the advanced copies. But it didn't look like it would get ready in time. And he had a ticket on a flight to go to the Rath Yatra from Tokyo. But the books weren't ready. So he was upset because he had wanted to give the books to Srila Prabhupada. But anyway, he went to the airport. He started to go up the get in the plane. And as he was entering into the plane, he saw these six black limousines coming across the tarmac of the airport. And they stopped right at the bottom of the stairs up to the flight. And there were the managers from Dai Nippon got out of these black limousines. And one of them had a box, and he ran up to Brahmananda, and he gave it to him just as he was entering the plane. And he said, there's 20 copies of Krishna book. So he sat down in the plane with this 20 copies of Krishna book to bring to Prabhupada. And he was so anxious to see how they came out, he opened the box and he started looking at one of the volumes. And the person next to him, sitting next to him, he noticed, because the first printing was a very large book, silver with the cover, with the picture of Radha and Krishna on the front. So the person sitting next to Brahmananda said, "What do you got there?" And he said, "Oh, this is the Krishna book." So the guy started to look at it, and he said, "Well, are you selling these?" So he thought, "What should I do? I just got 20 books, and he wants one." So he thought, "Well, Prabhupada wouldn't mind." So he said, "Yeah, we're selling them." And the guy gave him $10 for the Krishna book. Then Srila Prabhupada Brahmananda got to San Francisco, and he delivered these Krishna books to Srila Prabhupada. So this is what Satsrup Maj is describing here. Surrounded by devotees and curious festival goers, Srila Prabhupada held one of the books, admiring the front cover with its full color picture of Radha and Krishna. The volume was big, almost 7.5 by 10.5 inches, and its dusk jacket shone silver with large bright red letters, Krishna. It was a transcendental wonder in Srila Prabhupada's reverent hands. Onlookers could barely restrain themselves from pressing in against Srila Prabhupada to peer over his shoulders, and they didn't restrain their exclamations when Prabhupada smiled and opened the volume. He examined the illustrations, the print, the paper, and the binding. "Very nice," he said. He fixed his attention on a page reading. Then he looked up and announced that this greatly valuable book, Krishna, had just arrived, and that everyone should read it. Holding one book in his hand, with the other copies stacked before him, he said that anyone who desired should come forward and buy a copy. People began clamoring, and hands with $10 bills thrust forward, while voices cried out, begging for a copy. And Prabhupada promptly sold every book, not even keeping one for himself. For the devotees, Srila Prabhupada's selling of the Krishna book was the most spectacular event of the Rath Yatra festival. They poured over the purchased books in groups, discussing Krishna's pastimes and the effect they would have on the people of America. Brahmananda told how in 1967, Prabhupada had given away his advance copy of Teachings of Lord Chaitanya in his room at 26 Second Avenue in New York City. Just before that book had arrived, Srila Prabhupada had been sitting and talking with Satya Brat, a disciple who had previously stopped coming to the temple due to petty quarreling with his godbrothers. When the copy of Teachings of Lord Chaitanya had arrived, Srila Prabhupada had lovingly inspected it and had then offered it to Satya Brat as a gift. Sometimes Srila Prabhupada would give gifts to the devotees. Right? He appreciated their service. They were devotees of Krishna, so he would give them a gift. And one time in Los Angeles, Rameshwar was in Prabhupada's room, and Prabhupada was getting ready to go on a world tour. He had a round-the-world ticket, and he was going to travel to all the centers, or many centers. So he was getting ready, his things were getting packed, and he was putting on tilak. And Rameshwar was sitting there appreciating how his every movement was so majestic. And he said to Srila Prabhupada, Rameshwar, Srila Prabhupada, you appear to us just like a king. Right? So Prabhupada didn't say anything. He finished his dressing, and then he walked to the door. And as he left to go on his world tour and be greeted by the devotees downstairs waiting at the vehicle, he turned to Rameshwar and he said, I'm much more than a king. And then he went downstairs and got in the vehicle and went to the airport. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Brahmananda had been astounded to see Srila Prabhupada give away his only copy of the book. Having helped publish the book, Brahmananda knew how painstakingly Prabhupada had written it and how he had anxiously waited 1 year for the book to finally see print. Yet once it had arrived, he had immediately given it away to a disciple who was not even in good standing. Satya Brat had taken the book, thanked Srila Prabhupada, and left, never to be seen again. Although Srila Prabhupada wanted his disciples to be as eager to distribute Krishna conscious literature as he was, none of them knew how to do it. Distributing a magazine and asking for a small donation was one thing, but a big, hardbound book, when the entire shipment of Teachings of Lord Chaitanya had arrived in New York, in April of 1967, the devotees had hired a truck, picked up the books at the dock, and unloaded them at 26 Second Avenue. They had then shipped them to ISKCON centers in Los Angeles, San Francisco, Boston, Montreal, and elsewhere. And there they remained. Some devotees had tried placing ads in magazines and leaving books in bookstores on consignment, but the books didn't sell. How to sell these big hardbound books remained a mystery until something significant happened, an accidental discovery. One day in 1971, back in the temple, after chanting in downtown San Francisco, two brahmacharis stopped at a local service station for gas. When the attendant came to the window for money, one of the devotees showed him a Krishna book. That devotee's name was Buddhimanta. The attendant seemed interested, and the two devotees began preaching the glories of Krishna consciousness. When they suggested he take the book as payment for the gas, he agreed. Astonished at what had happened and inspired at their success, the two brahmacharis went the next day with several Krishna books and stood in front of a grocery store. And it again happened. This time they sold two books. Keshav, the San Francisco temple president, phoned his GBC supervisor and brother, Karandar, in Los Angeles, to tell him what happened. "It's like a miracle," Keshav explained. Karandar encouraged him to experiment further. And soon the San Francisco temple had half a dozen men going from door to door, showing the books to people in their homes. When Buddhimanta began selling as many as five books in a day, the devotees in other temples, especially Los Angeles, San Diego, and Denver, wanted to follow his example. And whoever tried it and sold a book became caught up in a euphoric excitement. The experience and testimonies of devotees selling Srila Prabhupada's books describe a special taste, distinct from the happiness young men might ordinarily experience by stumbling upon a sales technique and finding themselves on the verge of making a lot of money. The difference is that the devotees' book distribution, being devotional service to Krishna, produces an ecstasy that is transcendental, an ecstasy far beyond even the greatest material happiness. Ordinary business and business of selling Krishna conscious literature are different as material life from spiritual life. And anyone observing spiritual life from the material point of view will not understand it. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati had compared such empirical attempts to understand the ecstasy of Krishna consciousness with attempts to taste honey by licking the outside of the bottle. The young men and women beginning to distribute books in America knew that Srila Prabhupada, by giving them Krishna consciousness, had saved them from a hellish life, and they wanted to help him give Krishna consciousness to others. And such preaching by distributing his books was ecstasy, spiritual ecstasy. By mid-1971, the temples were selling hundreds of Krishna books a week. Karandar, Prabhupada's book fund manager, began sending Sankirtan newsletters in North America to the North American temples and to Srila Prabhupada. By listing the monthly results, each temple's book distribution, the newsletters incited competition. Karandar's December 1971 newsletter summed up the mood of the year and urged the devotees to increase. Recently, in all our out programs, in our all-out program to sell books, the San Francisco temple has been averaging 20 Krishna books per day distribution. What is their technique? Keshav Prabhu says, "Simply, we make it our priority activity. All you have to do is want to do it and then try as hard as you can. Everywhere we go, we carry BTGs and Krishna books," he says. "One street Sankirtan party, door to door, to the laundromat, to the store, everywhere. We have been taxing our brains in so many fancy and complicated ways to try to increase sales. But it has been our experience, nothing is more successful than simply taking the books personally in hand and going door to door with this causeless mercy. Just consider how many hours a day do we spend specially trying to distribute Srila Prabhupada's literature, which is the dearmost thing to him." Once here in Bombay, Gopal Krishna Maharaj got permission from India Book House downtown to display Srila Prabhupada's books for a week. So it's in Opera House. No, it's in Fort area. So anyway, he put in the window of the India Book House all of Prabhupada's books. And they were there for 7 days. So at the end of the display, Prabhupada asked him, so how did the books sell? And he said, well, Srila Prabhupada, we couldn't really sell so many books from the display. And Srila Prabhupada said, that's because our books sell by the enthusiasm of our devotees. Copies of this letter went out to every ISKCON center. Prabhupada always had given his blessings to all the devotees, but never before could anyone recall his saying a devotee would get Krishna's blessings a million times over. So the devotees in those days took up this distribution of Srila Prabhupada's books and this competition very seriously. The devotees would compete to see who could distribute more books. And one time in the Chicago temple, the devotees had gone out and they all came back pretty late at night because they wanted to distribute more books. So this one particular devotee, when he got back, he found out that, you know, there was somebody ahead of him by one book. So even though it was like 11:30 at night, he went back out and distributed two more books and then came back to the temple just so that he would beat that devotee. Although a letter from Srila Prabhupada usually instructed a specific devotee, the instructions often had universal applications. And Srila Prabhupada's letters made clear his disciples' top priority, book distribution. I am very pleased to hear that you are increasing in your book distribution of our books and magazines. This is a good sign that your preaching work is also strong. The more you increase your strength in preaching, the more you will go on selling books. I want especially that my books be distributed widely. And Srila Prabhupada had this intention. Why? Because that was the instruction that he got from his spiritual master. In Radha Kund, when Srila Prabhupada was a householder, he had gone to Vrindavan, and he met Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur there in Kartik. And he had a small son with him. Just like nowadays, we have the Braj Mandal Prakrama. So Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was there in Prakrama with all his brahmacharis and sannyasis and grihastha devotees, and they were in Radha Kund. So he was walking with Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and he was mentioning that there was a fire in the mutt. He was upset that although they had made this beautiful marble temple in Bagh Bazar in Calcutta, he was not very happy that the devotees were bickering over who would get what room. Right? And he said, better to sell the marble in the temple and print some books. So Srila Prabhupada could understand that his Guru Maharaj was very fond of books. And in fact, he told him, if you ever get money, print books. So he said, I followed that instruction blindly, not knowing what would be the result. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada was also emphasizing that to his disciples, that you distribute books. It's interesting that Gopal Krishna Maharaj, he was in charge of the BBT back in India in 1976. He became a trustee, I think, in 76. So every time he would come, Srila Prabhupada asked him, where's a book? Because he was getting the books translated from English into Hindi. So there's a morning, I think it's a morning walk conversation, or maybe it's a room conversation, where Prabhupada said about, he called him Gopal, affectionately, you see, Gopal is afraid to come and meet me unless he has a book to show that he produced. So, Srila Prabhupada had a lot of emphasis on distributing these books because that was the emphasis that he received from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Prabhupada's ambition was to replace mundane literature with transcendental. At least in every home, there should be one piece of Krishna conscious literature. He reasoned, because if a person read only one page, his life could be turned towards perfection. If 1% of the readers become devotees, he wrote, that will change the world. Whereas mail order advertisers were satisfied with a 5% response, Srila Prabhupada spoke of an even smaller percentage, 1%, whom he thought could become pure devotees in response to receiving a book. Lord Krishna also confirms this in Bhagavad Gita. Out of many thousands among men, one may endeavor for perfection. And of those who have achieved perfection, hardly one knows me in truth. To make the world Krishna conscious, therefore, would require that millions of pieces of transcendental literature be distributed. Srila Prabhupada wanted his disciples to understand why they should distribute his books, and he instructed them through his letters. Quote, who God is can be summed up in 5 words. Krishna is the supreme controller. If you become convinced of this and preach it enthusiastically, success is assured, and you will be doing the greatest service for all living entities. He wrote to Jayadvaita, these books and magazines are our most important propaganda weapons to defeat the ignorance of Maya's army. And the more we produce such literature and sell them profusely all over the world, the more we shall deliver the world from the suicide course. To Jagadish, he wrote, I am encouraged to see your report of books sold because it proves that you consider it your responsibility to see that more and more people are reading our literature. Actually, this is the solid basis for our preaching work. No other movement has got such profuse authority for preaching. And if someone reads our Krishna conscious philosophy, he becomes convinced. Prabhupada continued to insist that all major Krishna conscious programs be maintained, including deity worship, chanting Hare Krishna in public, and holding outside lectures. All programs were important, but book distribution, whenever possible, should accompany the other programs. To a sannyasi whose main program was public lecturing, Prabhupada wrote, distribute books as many as possible. If anyone hears some philosophy from us, that will help him. But if he purchases one book, that may turn his life. So selling books is the best preaching activity. Sell books, hold the kirtan in public places like schools, colleges, preach. And in a letter to Bhagavan Das in France, he stressed the same thing. What will your 3 minutes preaching do? But if they buy one book, it may turn their life. So this is the source of our stress on book distribution. It's coming from Srila Prabhupada. He personally stressed book distribution. It is a matter of a benefit for the persons that receive the book, undoubtedly. Their life can be turned, Srila Prabhupada said, by getting the book. But it's also the very powerful sadhana for us. It's called high sadhana. Very high sadhana. Because by distributing Srila Prabhupada's books, one comes directly in touch with Krishna. The book is the Krishna. The book is about Krishna. Right? It's not a mundane book. It's all about, it's the Krishna book. It's the Bhagavad Gita, the words of Krishna. And plus, if we expect to distribute a book, then we have to be in touch with Krishna. Krishna is in the heart of everyone. Sarvasya chaham risani visto. Mata smritir gyanam apohanam cha. So it's not, we don't really sell the book. Krishna inspires the person to take the book. So we have to be in touch with Krishna during this whole process. From right early in the morning, chanting nicely, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram. And then when we're out there, praying to Krishna to enlighten the person from within the heart to take the book. So that's why it's very high sadhana. High sadhana. It's the practical application of our morning sadhana, is distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. So anyway, I won't go on more. Class is over at 8:30, right? Right? And now it's 8:30. So thank you very much for listening, and may Krishna bless you in your efforts to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books in this very high form of sadhana bhakti. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Srila Prabhupada's transcendental book distribution ki. Hare Kirtan Sindhi translation ki. The Tagore Premanandi.